This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. 344 DGS, 5 p.m. We have the think tank coming up right now. We welcome our buddy Brian Kilmeade on the show. Hey, Brian.
I've been on Think Tank. That's fun.
You have been on Think Tank. Yeah, everyone said they wouldn't do it with you again because you're just too smart.
No one said that, Dave, and I'm not going to buy it. I'm not that naive. You don't want me on it.
Well, you figured me out.
I mean, yeah, you got your team's too good. Yeah.
So I want to talk to you today at as much length as we have about your book that came out yesterday, day before.
Yeah, it came out Tuesday.
Okay.
And it's been a crazy couple of days. And now I find myself, yeah, in Lakeland after the Patriot Awards last night. I don't know if you guys heard about it or saw it on Fox. And then we did the show in the morning. We went over to Lakeland. I did the show from St. Petersburg at the Cox affiliate. And now we're going to Oklahoma, stopping in Atlanta, going to do the show from KRMG in the morning, and then do a signing at noon, then go to Oklahoma City, then drive to Wichita Falls, then over to Waco. That's the next 2 days. If you want to join me,
no.
You could Google me.
Dude, I got to tell you, that, like, there are some people in media who make multiple times more money than I do, and I think they're dinks, and I think I'm better than them, but you're not one of them. You just work your ass. You just work your ass off. Like, I don't want that for me. You are just...
That's not true.
No, seriously. You are just constantly working. I applaud you for it. So, I want to talk about... I heard you and a gentleman that did research, and he's an Alamo guy. I can't remember his name. It was last week sometime. And it just brought home to me that I don't really know... I know the John Wayne movie. I know the stuff I read in history class when I was a kid. I remember the Alamo and Santa Ana, but I don't know that much. And the way that this guy was describing it, tell me if I'm wrong, that this was Mexico, but Mexicans didn't want to live that far north, and so a bunch of Americans moved south into what is now Texas, then Mexico. And at some point, it's like 80% Anglos, and they go to Mexico and say, why don't you just let us keep it or buy it? And they say, you know, kiss our ass, and then we go at it. But what I was thinking, I don't mean to sound like Elizabeth Sanders here, but when people say, like, we stole Texas from Mexico, did we sort of?
No. And here's the thing. Jackson, you know, that horrible person, Andrew Jackson, and that terrible founding father, Thomas Jefferson, were convinced, like most Americans, that we got it in the Louisiana Purchase.
Okay.
And there was also a dispute with Spain on Florida. So they decide, when Secretary of State, it was John Quincy Adams, Secretary of State, they decided to solve the dispute by, hey, we'll take Florida, you take Texas. Meanwhile, we had Americans there already, and the Spanish were saying couldn't populate it. They were scared to death of the Comanches and the Apaches. I'm sorry about that. I'm near an elevator.
That's right.
So they couldn't populate it. And Jackson was furious. Most people were furious. Like, are you kidding? We had Florida. We didn't have to give it up. So they do the swap. It's called the Adams-Otis Treaty. And they do this treaty. Well, in 1820, like many Americans who came to America for a fresh start, Moses Austin, father of Stephen F. Austin, picks up stakes and goes, I lost everything. I need a fresh start. Texas has all this promise. I'm going. He cuts a deal out of luck. With one person who's in charge of massive amount of land. He said, what if I bring 300 American families here? They go, absolutely. They cut this deal. Moses Austin gets sick. Stephen F. Austin takes it up. And they settle 300. Oh, my God. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
They settle 300 families in Texas. And then this community thrives. And the Americans keep coming. And they are perfectly happy being a part of Mexico. Short story, Santa Anna takes power. And he said the first thing he's doing, all these people are going to start listening to me. No more freedom, no more liberty. We'll arrest people when we want to. Well, that doesn't fly with people of Texas. And by 1836, 1835, the rubber hits the road. And they say, Santa Ana's coming if you guys don't get in line. He goes, listen, we're not getting in line. They win in Gonzales. They win in Concepcion. And then finally, they're occupying the Alamo. And in goes the Texas forces go in and take the Alamo, even though they're outnumbered, from General Coates, who's the brother-in-law of Santa Ana. And they tell the guy they could have killed him. Instead, they go, just promise me you're not going to fight anymore. Get out of here. So they hold the Alamo. Sam Houston says, hey, we haven't written the Declaration of Independence. We haven't written the Constitution. What are you doing? Get out of there. So he sends Jim Bowie in. He says, get out. We can't hold this fort. We're going to be outnumbered. Jim Bowie gets there, looks around, sees the spirit and the camaraderie, sees the way they're patching the place up. He goes, we're staying. Well, by the time Santa Ana gets there, they've got 3,000 people. Reinforcements never arrive. They have 180. They hold out for 13 days. They kill most of Santa Ana's elite forces. Some say as many as 1,200 of the regular Mexican army, just our 180 guys. And then it's devastating, but a big message is sent. Santa Ana goes, I'm going to finish these guys off. They burned all the bodies. They go to Goliad, another fort, and they say, surrender, and we'll let you guys live. It was a big head fake. They killed them all. So Sam Houston has to do the hardest thing. He's got to run backwards, the runaway scrape, because he knows his first fight's his last fight, win or lose. He's got to tell a bunch of Texans not to seek revenge. And for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, he does it. And we find the exact tree called the Witchway Tree, where he stood in front with branches going east and west. If he goes west, he goes to our border. If he goes the other way, he goes to San Jacinto. He decides to go to San Jacinto. This time he's got 1,900 guys. Santa Ana's got about 3,000. And through a series of fortuitous events, we win this decisive battle in 18 minutes, go for complete victory in 2 hours, and capture Santa Ana the next day. But instead of killing him, we make him sign over Texas, and we tell him to send the reinforcements back. This is an American story. They could not populate the place. We put more guys in 10 years than Spain put in 300 years. And this never belonged to them to begin with. So that's your fight at the water cooler tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's the pushback.
Do you know, Brian, to this day in Mexico, do they tell the story differently? Did they teach their kids that we stole it from them?
You could simplify a story and say, was it technically part of Mexico? Yes. Did you tear up your own constitution in 1824 and tell all your provinces, you go by these rules now? And the provinces rose up. One got crushed, and one crushed and got there, and one won and got their freedom. That's the story. Now, I've read these books from, this became a famous story, and the Spanish perspective came in. Bottom line is, Santa Ana was this leader who fancied himself the next Napoleon, but he was ruthless. Mm-hmm. He didn't care about his soldiers. He had no medical tents. He walked over bodies. He never got any people, any wounds taken care of. They hated him. And this guy it was all about him. If they had a normal general, and if we didn't have Sam Houston, it would have been a different outcome. But America always felt as though it was going to be theirs. 9 years later, the annexation takes place. But for 9 years, they had to bite their nails and hope there wasn't going to be any retribution. And the British wanted to come in and take it back. But this is the story of America. 60 years after our first revolution, there was another. And we would not be the same country. I know I said this with Andrew Jackson, we would not be the same country without those circumstances.
So I've never written a book. I have no idea how it works. How long until you know? Is it like minute to minute, hour by hour? Do you have to wait a couple weeks until you know how it's selling?
Wow, you are a businessman. I would say this, it's number two on Amazon all day, and it's only second to Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And I don't really think I can compete with that because it's a uplifting message for children, I refuse to go down to that level.
I love it. I'm losing the Captain Underpants, but, what can you do about that?
Right. I mean, it's definitely humbling.
So you're coming in on the 21st, St. Charles County Library, going to be with Mark Cox that night. And what can people look forward to if they come out?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm bringing the 4-minute feature that recaps it. I don't know if he wants me to roll it or not. I'm going to talk about all this together, but the big theme that I think you could appreciate as a talk show host is the war in history. So whether you like me or not, whether you like the book or not, I will tell you right now, there's a war in our past, and it's up to you to arm yourself with why we're an exceptional nation, and hopefully this is another entry to help you win the water cooler battle. Mm-hmm. The next argument you have in a sports bar, this thing called facts. And we're not perfect, but we try to be.
Hey, Brian,
that's the message.
Brian, it's Tony Colombo. I'm not even kidding. The author of Diary of Wimpy Kid is also coming to St. Louis this month.
Ooh, fight! Fight!
He's coming to the University of Missouri St. Louis campus. He's doing. I'm not making this up, but he's coming here too. So apparently, St. Louis is the battleground for that number one spot.
I love it.
You know, I'm also competing with Donald Trump Jr. Why does he come after me? Why couldn't he go after Donald Trump Jr.? I mean, I don't know why I'm in his crosshairs.
I don't know.
Just a real quick footnote, too. Brian is actually here on the 22nd. We said 21st on accident. You can get tickets for that at 971talk.com/events.
Very nice. All right, Brian. We appreciate your time, buddy. Good luck.
You guys, thanks so much for your support. I'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, see you, pal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.